I'm Van.
I'm sorry.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Leonard Cohen. The song is called The Future. I hope this is not the official one because it'll get blocked.
This is the official big video. Homie Armando.
Shout out to the big homie Armando. There's multiple ways to listen to get your song reviewed. There is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. One of the real effective ways is to, especially with the main stage, is to suggest a song while we're in the
Fireside.
Yep. So the Iron Maiden song that you saw came as a result of the Fireside discussion.
Thing too is to suggest something that could be main stage. That's something that has like over 250 million views.
Right.
If it's a bigger one, most people request songs that are very small, and so our underground shows are like booked right up. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a hack.
Yeah. So there's no guarantees. The only guaranteed way of getting a song review is through the Patreon. So $1 at the gate gets you into an alliance, and then you go in there, and there you go. An alliance leader will pick you up, and then you make your case there, and then you get your song reviewed. The other one is the fast pass option of the partner tier. Partners with us to build up the channel to $125, get you a song, get you jumped right to the head of the line. If, because the previous rate was $75, if, dear listener, you have done it 3 times in the past...
Not necessarily in a row.
Then you get grandfathered in at the $75 rate. And Armando is definitely in that category. For sure. So this is Leonard Cohen. Now, Leonard Cohen, we've only done one other song from him, and it's called Everybody Knows, which I enjoyed exponentially. I don't think that's the proper usage of it exponentially, but because I'm not comparing it. I enjoyed exponentially more than many songs, let's say it that way. So this one is called The Future, so I'm very, very excited. When I saw this in the queue, I was very excited. I was like, yes, Leonard Cohen. I was listening to Michael Moore, your favorite commentator, and he started with the Everybody Knows song because it was him lamenting the fact that Bernie once again bent the knee to the lizard people in the DNC. All right, let's go.
Ready? Go.
Future, Leonard Cohen.
Oh, I thought that was Leonard Cohen.
Give me back my broken mat, my mirrored room, my secret life. It's lonely here. There's no one left to torture. Give me absolute control over every living soul. Lie beside me, baby. That's an order. Give me speed and careless sex. Take the only tree that's left and stuff it up the hole in your culture. Give me back the Berlin Wall. Give me Stalin and St. Paul. I see the future, brother. It is murder. Things are gonna slide.
Slide in all directions.
Won't be nothing
you can measure anymore.
The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold and it's overturned of the soul. When
they say,
repent, I wonder what they mean. When
they say, repent.
Rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival. Your servant here, he has been told, to say it clear, to say it cold. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Things are gonna slide
in all directions.
Won't be nothing.
Won't be nothing you can measure anymore.
The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold and it's over. Turn out the soul. When
they said,
repent. I wonder what they meant. When
they said,
repent.
Shout out to the big homie. He died in 2016 from leukemia. He's almost prophetic, this guy, huh?
Oh my gosh, I know, it's crazy.
This was written in 1992. This guy is probably one of the most unique lyricists around.
I like his vocal style.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I wonder how people get famous. Like, I'm not saying, like, he's massively talented. I just didn't think that there would be enough people with the patience to love what this guy's doing. So, good for him. It's just very interesting.
Both of us are like, I gotta see more. What's happening here?
Yeah.
I want to look to see how many views the... I always like knowing how big the thing got.
No, this one didn't get that big at all. It was only 2 million views. But, so, did the Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, it's a Jewish last name that means that you were descended from Levitical priests.
Oh, really?
True story. Right there. Cohen.
Oh.
Or the Kohanim. Kohanim.
Interesting.
Levitical priests or Kohanim are traditionally believed to, and halalically required to be of direct patrilineal descendant from the biblical Aaron.
Hmm.
So when he says, I'm the little Jew who wrote the Bible, if you take the documentary hypothesis and stuff, then that would be literally true, because he would be descendants of the Yahwist author, and then you had the priestly author in Genesis, and that accounts for a lot of, you know, whatever. But, so there you go. Leonard Cohen. Wow. It's funny, because I'm in a mobster mood.
Yeah.
And I'm learning about these mobsters and all that, and this guy is kind of like, has that type of energy.
Yeah, he does.
He's like one of those dudes that you, I'm sure he's interacted with a couple mobsters here and there, uh-huh, inshallah.
So he's talking about everything that would happen in the future?
Yeah, the name of the album is The Future too, isn't it? Isn't that the name of the record?
It's the opening song
on the album called The Future. So it's the title song and the opening song for the record. Give me back my broken night, my mirrored room, my secret life. It's lonely here. There's no one left to torture. Give me absolute control over every living soul. And lie beside me, baby, that's an order. Maybe he's like, he's seen the future. Like, he's seen this vision of the future, and it's very dystopian, so he wants to go back to his old life as a rock star with a bunch of alcohol and women. And there's nobody left to torture. Maybe he wants to go back to simpler times, because what he sees in the future is horrifying to him. This line was very strange. Give me crackin' booty sex. Take the only tree that's left and... Ugh. Yeah, I'm not really going to comment a lot on that. I will say, though, unless you want to, go ahead.
No,
it's not my thing.
I didn't understand what he was saying. Like,
it just looks to me like the epitome of, like, debauchery.
Yeah.
You know, crack is, like, the worst drug you could possibly do. And
in your culture? Why did he say in your culture?
Because that's what it seems like Western culture is just devolving into.
Oh.
You know, the crack epidemic, really, late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
That was kind of the height of the crack epidemic. And, you know, shout out to Joe Biden and the crime bill. Shout out to the big homie and the war on drugs. So at the time they were looking at addiction to that type of drug that they would just look down and you were like the worst, you know. Mm-hmm. Now when somebody's addicted to drugs, the societal narrative is that they need help and things like that. And I'm glad we've graduated to that. That's good.
We haven't completely graduated.
Yeah, there's some subliminals there.
Oh.
Those who have ears to hear will know what I'm talking about. Give me back the Berlin Wall. Give me Stalin and St. Paul. I've seen the future, brother. It's murder, which is interesting because the Stalinists were... I don't know who this is from. I love you, but you butchered me and Damon's TK intro. It's horribly low resolution. Isn't that what black metal is supposed to be?
I just took what they sent me.
I think he sent us two copies. Like I said, we're the most interactive YouTube group on the planet. Some of these people have me directly. Huh? Yeah, so it's interesting because Stalin and Lenin and all those guys, they hated religion and Christianity and the League of the Militant Godless by your man Yemelyan Yalovsky, who said
I have an incense burning over here, it's coming towards me.
he talked about it was their militant state atheism that was driving their communist revolution. Why their communist revolution was successful was because of his militant state atheism. So it looks like he's like putting all these contrasts together, like these two extremes where there's no middle ground. Mm-hmm. Give me back the Berlin Wall. You know, Berlin Wall had just fallen. Was it Gorbachev? I forgot. I think it was. What's his face? Reagan. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. I'm not sure if it was Gorbachev though. Was it the guy with the weird what's that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about? Was it Gorbachev? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Who was the guy with the strange is it Mikhail Gorbachev? Is that it? Boris Yeltsin. Okay. Alright. Good lord. Everything was fuzzy for me back in the, because I was so young in the late 80s, early 90s, but I remember these guys. So it's like, Berlin Wall had fallen, all that stuff, so like we're like on the cusp of a new world. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, give me back the Berlin Wall, give me Stalin and St. Paul, you know, so you can either look at that as like a desire to go back to the old ways, for better or for worse, or you could look at it as he's conflicted because, you know, these are two opposites and there's kind of no middle ground.
It kind of sounds like
those are extremes.
To me it kind of sounds like, look, the past, for better or for worse, is going to be better than the future,
right? Which a lot of people look at it that way. I don't, because I'm a post-millennialist. I think the future is going to be infinitely better than the past. Your future looks better than your past when you're present with the man.
Maybe was better than his future.
Well, I mean, he's Jewish, so not 40 years from the day that he wrote this song, these guys were getting wrecked in the Holocaust. So I'm not necessarily sure that that's the case. Things are going to slide in all directions. Won't be nothing you can measure anymore. The blizzard of the world has crossed a threshold and it's overturned the order of the soul. Woo! Things are going to slide in all directions. Maybe things are going to happen in such extremity that you won't even be able to measure anything. Like, it's true, though. Like, things have become so extreme that it's very hard to measure things and get an accurate grasp on what's supposed to happen. That's a good point. And I feel like we've gotten there. Like, we've gotten to this really strange place where I kind of saw it with Obama, where you start criticizing Obama, people, oh, you're a racist. It's like, no, I'm just trying to measure what he's doing.
Yeah.
No, you're a racist.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Everything is so crazy now, nobody can criticize anybody. Mm-hmm. Of course, unless you're a cis white male. A poor cis, a middle class cis white male, that guy you can criticize or even think through. But like, our ability to reason with each other is becoming more and more impossible because of how offended everybody gets about everything, and that is directly correlated to what side of the left wing, right wing aisle you're on.
Yeah,
it was funny. I don't know if I read this to you, but during the whole the Metallica review that we just did, Ride the Lightning, some guy goes, "Oh, what a surprise! Liberals don't like the death penalty." So I was just chuckling to myself, like, oh, we're liberals now. There you go. But that's the point, that you have to hold to all of these ideas, otherwise we're going to call you a liberal.
Yep.
But then I shoot a Middle America video and say, you know, Trump did a good thing with this First Step Act. Then all the leftists say, you're a, you know, it's like you've got to completely pledge allegiance to their both sides' irrational extremist views, otherwise you're not true cults.
Yep.
Left or right. It's very, very interesting. I've seen the future, brother. It's murder. Good lord. When they said repent, I wonder what they meant. Yeah, because repent means to change your ways from something bad to something good.
Is he saying that didn't happen? So, like, I wonder what they thought they meant when they were hearing that, or
maybe he's confused by what that is because we have no marker anymore for right or wrong. So how can you repent from something bad to something good if there's no more right or wrong?
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, if you can't do that, if you don't have a baseline for what right or wrong is, then there's mm-hmm. no baseline for what repent means. So what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know me from the wind. You never will. You never did. I'm the little Jew who wrote the Bible. I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only angel of survival. You know, maybe he's talking about Jesus there. You know, maybe he's not talking about himself. Because that line, you don't know me from the wind, is John chapter 3, right? Where Jesus says, you know, consider the wind. You don't know where it goes or where it comes from. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And maybe he's saying we don't really know what the real message of Jesus was or the real message of the Bible is. I've seen the nations rise and fall. But love's the only engine of survival.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's looking at Jesus as a baseline and saying, hey, this is a guy that taught us to love everybody.
I've seen the nations rise and fall. Yeah, that does kind of make sense.
But he's saying, we don't know. You obviously don't know who the real Jesus is because we've been warmongers. We've mm-hmm. been killing each other. We've been unloving, mm-hmm. particularly the people who claim to follow Jesus,
mm-hmm.
which would make a lot of sense, especially if you stack it on top of the repent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean by that? It's a good question.
Right.
Especially to the religious right. It's like, what do you mean? Like, you don't have... I don't think that the religious right in America has any moral authority to tell anybody to do anything because of the obvious hypocrisy that we have displayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Bill Clinton was doing his little crazy thing with Monica Lewinsky, it was a religious right that was crucifying him, said he was horrible, said he shouldn't be fit to be president. And it's the same religious right apparatus that put Trump in office. And then when people go, well, wait a second, this guy, they go, well, we're not looking for the pastor in chief, we're looking for the commander in chief. Well, then, how in the world? And so there have been so many things. We go up against gay people are the worst people on the planet, but then again, you're good with Trump, and you're good with sending all these pedophile priests all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, like, we no longer have the moral standing, any sort of moral authority. You know, and it's kind of, you know, the church has always kind of had, especially, you know, in the early goings of the Christian era, where we would be killed in the arena and things like that, but you had Christians making moral pronouncements against the prevailing zeitgeist, whether it's mm-hmm. Telemachus jumping into the middle of the arena and saying, stop this right now, or forgot what bishop. Bishop wrote this letter to Caesar and told him to repent from his sinful actions. Like, we had moral authority, whether or not people loved it. I mean, they killed Telemachus.
Right.
And they tore him to pieces, it says. And you see, they tore him to pieces. That was the catalyst for the end of the game. So we had moral authority. We could say, we could stand to the culture and say, you're doing wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
But the message has become so diluted because we have, you know, it's the principle in the book of Revelation when the religious institution joins up with the government, it's mm-hmm. the government is not going to get Christianized.
Uh-huh.
The Christians are going to whore themselves out to the government, which is exactly what happened with the Republican Party and the church. The church, in many instances, has whored itself out to the Republican Party. The unwavering support of Trump would be one. And no, I'm not an anti-Trumper. Go watch the Middle America reviews. You'll see that I'm not an anti-Trumper. But the Christian right's dedication to the Republican Party has not made the Republican Party Christian. Mm-hmm. It has made the church political.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you begin to lose your moral authority. So then if you look at that and says, what do you mean by repent? That's another way of interpreting it, is to say, we can't tell anybody to repent anymore because we've completely surrendered all that,
mm-hmm.
because we've sold out on so many different topics. You know, if we were consistent about Trump, for example, then, you know, our LGBT friends could not like what the Christian right has to say about homosexuality during the Bush era with the values voting where we were against gay marriage. But at least they could say, well, they're consistent.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like Trump either. He said he's nasty as hell. But when you go out and support Trump, And then you tell some gay person who loves their boyfriend, whatever you want to say, to the best of the ability, so much so that they want to be part of the 2% that wants to remain in a lifelong committed monogamous relationship. You're going to tell him that he's sexually immoral and that God hates him and all the rest of it. Meanwhile, you got Trump, and now there's all these memes about how Trump and Jesus are tight and all the rest. Man, stop it. Can't do it. Sorry. Your servant here, he has been told to say it clear, to say it cold. It's over, it ain't going any further, and now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It's murder! That's, I think probably talking about the complete death knell of religion, and all we have left is whatever we have from the devil. Things are gonna slide in all directions.
Did you notice that he... Go ahead, scroll down a bit. He says... in the lyrics here, right here, give me back the Berlin Wall, give me Stalin, give me St. Paul, give me Christ or give me Hiroshima. But he didn't say Christ, he said love.
Yeah.
I wonder,
and he didn't say the booty sex thing either. I wonder if...
He didn't?
No, not in the video.
Really?
Yeah.
I was reading the lyrics, so I thought he said it.
I wonder if Christ was like one of those words that you couldn't say. Remember with the Queen thing where mm-hmm. Queen... Like, the Queen wasn't able to... They got banned from TV, so maybe saying Christ on national TV was banned or something. But he said, give me Christ or give me Hiroshima. Destroy another fetus, how? Now! We don't like children anyhow. I've seen the future, baby. It's murder. This guy's a smart lyricist, mm-hmm. man. Didn't he say...
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And you know, in 92, the pro abortion people were saying safe, legal, and rare. Mm-hmm. That was the big thing. Clinton, State of the Union address, safe, legal, and rare. And then we metastasized from that to, hey, you can kill a baby up to the 9th month in New York City. Yay! You know, and then I know there's inevitably somebody that's going to say, that's only in the life of the mother. No, it's not. It's not only for the life of the mother. We shot an entire documentary about it.
It's not.
It's not the life of the mother. We'll put it in there for you if you'll watch it. It's not life of the mother. These people were celebrating the idea that they were going to be able to disassemble a baby if they could prove that the baby was going to cause them undue duress, emotional, physical, financial, etc., etc. Terrible stuff. And of course, people's goals. See, the thing about people is they don't realize that if you're one of these people that goes with your cultural zeitgeist, then that means that the lines that you would draw that you think are there. Like, for example, one of the things I commented on about this abortion thing, I said, if I would have told you 2 years ago that you would be co-signing the death of a 9-month-old, fully developed, fully healthy child, you'd say, no way. And I've got screenshots of people saying, well, Vin, postpartum is a real issue. You know, I was talking about the 9-month abortion stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And I was saying, you know, I was bringing up postpartum, and the person goes, well, postpartum is a hell of a thing. And so they're already, their mind is already conforming to this idea that, well, yeah, maybe we should get rid of it. And then I talked to somebody, and I'm never going to mention his name, but I talked to somebody who didn't even draw the line at that. Even after, you were there.
I know.
Even after birth. He said, oh, it would haunt me, but I would support my friend in killing their newborn.
I'm amazed at how many people are okay with murder. And murder of the innocent.
Like. Yeah. Well, and that's... This guy was brave as hell because he used that term. Destroy another fetus now. We don't like children anyhow. I've seen the future, baby. It's murder.
Yep.
True story. And of course, you know, as a Christian, I believe that forgiveness is available to everyone mm-hmm. for everything, which is why I don't support the death penalty for murder, any type of murder, because I believe that everybody can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. But to not call something for what it is, and you know, people try to do silly things like murder is only illegal killing. So I'm like, oh, so when I was listening to that Holocaust presentation, and the guy said that Hitler murdered 6 million Jews, he's lying. Mm-hmm. because it was legal. What a silly thing to say. I swear to God, sometimes. Yeah, but at the, it's so interesting because at the time, the language was safe, legal, and rare. And then we jumped from that to abortion without restriction, according to the folks who drafted the RHA. They said no gestational limits and no reasons. That's what they wanted. The folks who did the RHA stuff. Again, if and there's no gestational limits in Colorado. So Dr. Hearn will disassemble your Down syndrome baby for a small fee of $10,000. I asked the guy too. So it's like...
I can't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I've got Christian friends that are like, oh yeah.
It seems like it should be like the minority. Honestly, this is going to be very controversial, but it should it seems to me that it should be the minority view amongst the mentally ill that you should be able to kill children.
Right. Right.
Not that it's the majority report.
Right. Right. But our societies, but here's what happens.
They're babies.
Our society is controlled by a small group of very mentally ill people. Right? And so what happens is that when you're the type of person that, it's the same thing that happened during the transatlantic slave trade. These are very sick people. Most people would not say, hey, let's treat human beings like complete chattel, like oxen. Let's do that. Most people wouldn't do that. But when you have a small group of sociopaths that then convince that happen to be an authority, they then tell their people, oh, this is okay, this is fine. This is why I say, like, you know, people saying all crazy stuff about Nazis or about the slave trade, I'm like, are you kidding me? You think you're different than them? You really think you're different than that? That's why Jordan Peterson says he spends the first semester of his classes trying to convince people that they would have most likely, statistically speaking, went along with the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, I was having a conversation, really good friend of mine, beautiful brother, but you were there on the side. He was saying some nightmarishly horrific stuff. Mm-hmm. Horrific! Mm-hmm. Like straight from a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a really good guy, humanly speaking. And this is the best that a secular society can produce. A guy who says he would support his friend killing a baby. Unbelievable. It's terrifying. Because you're like, wow, I'm looking at a dude that is like, he's really saying this. Wow. Okay. all right.
Especially if you look at the way that these abortions take place. Like, I wouldn't agree with it even if it was, like, something where the baby just kind of, like, falls asleep. You know what I mean? Like, but it's not like that. It's violent and it's tragic and it's barbaric. Horrible.
It's absolutely barbaric. It's absolutely barbaric. It's the greatest evil in the world, and I am always surprised. When I think about sunrises a lot, I'm always surprised that God raises the sun over this evil nation. And then when I say that, I'm talking about all the evils that conspire to create the culture of death that we have, particularly people saying, hey, you know, the whole adage where right-wingers, like, you know, they go crazy about abortion, but then when the single mom is by herself, they don't want to extend a penny to help this girl, call her every name in the book and say, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And they're ignoring the fact that there are societal conditions that create abortions. Mm-hmm. And
you
they don't want
to have your legs together.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to hear it. Okay. Right.
It's helpful.
Right. Correct. They don't want to hear it. But they want to tell this girl, no, you can't have an abortion, but now I'm not going to help you either. And if you think as a Christian that that absolves you from guilt in the abortion, look, man. The scripture says that God is going to judge with equity. So I don't know how much of the percentage of the blame that I bear for being part of a society that does this to little women and does this to little babies. But if you think that because you haven't marched somebody down to an abortion clinic, but you support policies that create an environment where a person would be tempted to do so, then you don't know the God of the Bible. Because all of those things factor into the judgment. And that's why it's very important to not believe that you're better than anybody, and to understand that if you have eyes to see that abortion is a very great evil, good for you, you should also ask for eyes to see as to what causes these abortions and what your role is in it, and so that you can repent along with us so that the wrath of God does not destroy our nation. Because this might sound old school, and you can say whatever you want, but the scripture says that God's wrath is not sleeping. And if you think that we could just go and do this to little babies and do this to women and do this to marginalized people with impunity, okay.
And fathers too. I always feel like that gets skipped over. Fathers too that want their children.
Yeah.
And then the mothers abort them.
Terrible.
Like that is something that happens.
Well, I saw that thing on Father's Day. It was brutal, man.
Yeah.
The guy was on the street corner crying. He was begging, please don't kill him. Please don't kill my kid.
That to me is. Oh,
and of course, people were like, man, that was tough. And then someone was like, oh, he needs to find another incubator or whatever. You know, if you think that's okay, look, like I said, our society is being run by a very small group of sociopaths, and I don't think it's the same thing with Ted Cruz when he was talking about, oh, we're gonna make sand glow. Mm-hmm. You're talking about killing thousands of innocent people. Mm-hmm. To Mr. Cruz. And what did the evangelical audience do? Yay, USA! Let's dismember those damn Muslims! Yeah, I've seen the future, man. It's murder. We're a bloody group of people, and I think we've successfully offended everybody on the right and the left. But am I wrong in saying that our country's been run by a small group of sociopaths? Am I wrong in saying that? You can be mad at me. But I'm not wrong about that. Most people, if you were to say to them, if you were to take all those people in that group and say, okay, this is actually what happens when you carpet bomb a group of people. Here are the bodies. Mm-hmm. This is the mother trying to connect the head of her daughter to the neck of her daughter over here. I don't think that those evangelical Christians would say, yup, we should do that. I don't think they would do that. I think they'd say, whoa. So I think if those people who were cheering that on would see the ramifications of what they're promoting, I think they'd take a second look. It's the same thing with abortions. It's a reason these people never want to look at the aftermath of abortion. Because they know their conscience won't let them. They know. We know what we're doing. So, small group of sociopaths. He's right. It's murder. Sad. But this guy's understanding of the future is very strange to me, because in the 90s, things were, you know, like Clinton was kind of like one of Clinton's strategies. I just heard something about this yesterday. One of Clinton's strategies was he would actually attack the far left people of his own party. And the reason he would do that would be to signal to Republicans, hey, I'm actually more moderate. So, and it worked. It worked. Clinton was one of these crossover guys who got Republicans to vote for him, who got, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting that he was able to see through this, because in the 90s, things were not as, like, so extreme with left wing and right wing as what happens now. Like, if you look at, I've said this a lot, if you look at Donald Trump, if you look at the policies that he's passed, he's basically Bill Clinton, only less hostile to black people. I mean, Donald Trump is just bait, but because of the political zeitgeist we're in, and all, and the social media and all the rest of it, people really believe that this guy Donald Trump is like off the range crazy and yada yada yada. But if you look at his, and he's also less aggressive about bombing people than Bill Clinton was too. But if you actually look at the policies that he's actually passed and enacted, they're Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. But things are so crazy now that it's like, but so I'm surprised that he was able to get this out of 1992, because things were not as crazy as they are now in 1992. Mm-hmm. The late 80s, early 90s was definitely a transitional time in the world, but it wasn't transitioning to, so it's almost like he really did have some inspiration here.
That's interesting.
Because I, but again, I was a little kid at the time. And I would just sit and listen to what my mom and my stepdad would say about Clinton. So maybe it was more bifurcated than I remembered, but I thought this was a brilliant, brilliant song.
What are you gonna give it?
This guy is not a guy that I'm like, oh, I'm gonna listen to this tonight. You know what I mean? It's not that type of music, but both of the songs that he listened to are so relevant to today. So like when I'm listening to Michael Moore and that's in the background, I'm like, yes, this is perfect. What do you give the song?
9.6. Maybe even a 9.8 is the accuracy. And I liked the style of it as well.
I agree with you.
It had like a sinister slow dance.
It's like that mobster. It had that mobster.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm 9.8.
I can't give it a 9.8. 9.6. 9.6. I'll give you all that. But what a brutal song, man. Good Lord. Shout out to the big homie Monica. If you've endured to the end of this video, we're still praying for you, sis. I meant that sincerely. And please send us email updates. Finn out.
Sorry out.
Gone.
Just say it clear, just say it cold. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Things are gonna slide in all directions. Won't be nothing.
Won't be nothing you can measure anymore.
The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold and it's over. Turn out the soul. When they say,
repent,
I wonder what they mean. When they say,
repent. Hiroshima. Destroy another fetus now. Don't let children anyhow. I've seen the future, baby. It is murder.